Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. What if you don't do it? It just won't be done. So beautiful.
Sometimes I get this, but then I say like this today.
Lord, beautiful. Anybody know that only God can do it? Oh, beautiful. Oh, thank you. Because, Lord, I have a problem that only you can solve. So, Lord, do so.
Hey, y'all play that for me.
Do it for me. Can't wait till tomorrow. Good to me.
Thank you. wait on you. We wait.
And in the name of love, I can only imagine. You know everything is forever, forever worshiping. I can only imagine. To be surrounded by what will you feel when I dare to be loved to be still when I dare to be
when I get for the throne, when I come before the king, what he would say, well done for all that he has allowed me to do. Well done. Is falling off. But we thank you, Father, because some people don't have any headphones, but have headphones. Glory be to the Lord. Glory be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has allowed us to come in this morning and be here in the land of the living. Somebody send me a message on Facebook, but you know, sometimes people are saying stuff, but we want to know the truth from your heart. They're glad that I'm still alive. Hallelujah. They said, I'm glad that you're still alive, but I want you to know that God kept me, not me. God kept me. I could have been dead and gone, but he kept me in the land of the living. And we are so excited. We are so delighted about God. We are amazed in our spirit, man, about the God that we serve. Because he is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. And Father, we praise you. We glorify your name. We exalt you, Jesus, because it's you, Lord. It's you that we live to praise. It's you that we live to magnify. It's you that we live to give glory. Father, without breath, we are not able to speak, God. So we thank you for the breath. We thank you for the strength. We thank you for all that you have given to us, that we are able to stand before you in the blood of Jesus. I praise you and glorify you. Today we ask you, God, to bless this word that we are about to teach upon. Hallelujah. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 to 21. And we're talking about growing in faith. And the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. See, if I can see it, I don't need faith for it. You know, if I can see it, I don't need faith for it. I just got to receive it. But if I can't see it, I need faith. I need faith. I need to stand in faith, knowing that God is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. The patriots has faith to believe God to stay on his word. He promised Abraham his son in his old age. And Abraham stood on the word of God to him for righteousness. He stood on the word. You know, we, in other words, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, not by what we see. Hallelujah, glory to God. Laying in the hospital room and knowing that we're about to go through the most serious surgery in our lives that we have ever would encounter. We had to trust, we had to believe, we had to rely on, we had to depend on the very power, very spirit, the very essence of who he is to bring us through. It takes faith to do that. Not that we are so perfect, but that he is perfect, that he is able, that he is willing to, that he will do what he said he will do. Here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. And we want to read out of the Logos, and we want to read out of the King James. We want to read out of the Amplified. Hallelujah, Jesus. Here in this book, this is so powerful. We taught about this a few years ago. But, you know, we are going back. We are going back. God is taking us back to the things that he brought us through. And he's allowing us to take a second look. He's allowing us to take a second look at what he has done for us, what he has shown us, what he has given us. Somebody said, what he preached that last week. He preached, no, but this week you're going to hear something different. He preached that last year, but this year you're going to hear something different because we have grown to a place in him that we God wants to show us some more. We're not the same old people that we were. We now have stepped into the newness of who he is. And he wants to show us a little bit more. You hear me today? God that I serve, the God that we serve, he wants to show us a little bit more. Are you ready to see a little bit more? Are you ready for God to give you some more? Or you still want the same old thing that you had? But God says, I want to show you, daughter. Son, I want to give you a little bit more. Here the Bible says, by his divine power, verse 3. We'll start at verse 3. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Now, God has, he has brought us in by his own know-how. Only he could draw us in. And he gave us everything that we need to live godly. What are you talking about, Apostle? He has given us everything that we need to have to live like him. We have no reason to live like the world because we have everything that we need to live like God. We have the knowledge. We have the blueprint. We have the nature. We have the strength of God in us for us to live like God. But we're not tapping into it. Peter says here, the Apostle Peter, he began to greet the church. If you go back up to verse 1, Peter began to greet the church. This letter from Simon Peter, a slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who is writing to save people. I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith we share. The same precious faith we have. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. The more you get to know him, the more you get to understand who he is, what he has done at Calvary, the more grace you're going to receive. The more peace you're going to receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, verse 4 says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires, human needs, human lusts, human deception. Do you hear me? God has given us his glory and excellence. Hallelujah. We are not just mere people. We have the glory and we have the excellence of God. We have the promises of God to perform the work of God here in this earth realm. Hallelujah. Sometimes we see ourselves as mere instruments of this world, that we're supposed to do what the world wants us to do. The Bible says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Hallelujah. And moral supplement your faith with generous provisions of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge.
You have to use your faith. Give me 1 minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless the name. Let me get this phone. Hopefully we are still on because the phone acts up sometimes.
Glory to God. We are, let me see where we are. Bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Give me a second here because this phone here is going bananas here. Let me see who we got here. Okay. So we thanking God and praising God. God has given us what we need to do, what need to be done. It's no need for we walk around like a chicken. The old people should say, you acting like a chicken with your head cut off. In other words, they use all of these little nuggets that would drop, keep you thinking. Well, a chicken with a head cut off is like you don't know where you're going. If a chicken don't have a head, they hopping until they die. Hallelujah, glory to God. So we hopping around, going this place, going that place. Don't know where we're going. We don't know. Another thing they used to say, if you don't know where you're going, any road will lead you there. Anywhere you go, so you end up. You know, you don't know where you're going. You don't have a destination plan. You don't have a GPS. You don't have a schematic. You don't have a blueprint. You don't have a map. You don't know where you're going. But God gave us everything pertaining to godly life, everything that we needed to live a godly life. Verse 6 says, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience. Endurance. Now, God has given us everything. See, we need to have self-control. We are in it, but we don't have no self-control. You see pastors that act out of character. They say they are saved and they are sanctified, but they're not. They don't have any self-control. And God wants us, you and me, us, every believer, every pastor, every leader, control. Where do you need control? Because the world is going to test you. The world is going to test you to see where you are. Do you hear me today? The world is going to test you to see if you are who God said you are. This is why we need to grow in faith. Many people are stagnated, meaning they're not moving. They're not going anywhere. They're like dirty water. You ever see stagnated water? Stagnant water? Or it's got all types of mosquitoes, all types of eggs and bacteria on it because why? It's not moving. And that's where the mosquitoes are going to go lay their eggs. It's stagnant. And a lot of leaders are just like a stagnant water. They're not growing. And we're talking about growing in faith today, coming out of Second Peter chapter 1. The Second Peter chapter 1. And he says he's given us everything we need. So we don't have to go to this revival. We don't have to go to this convocation looking for. When we go to the convocation or revival, we're going to support the pastor, support the other brothers and sisters to encourage them. But we should have everything that we have already in us because the Bible says, he says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need, not something, but everything we need for living a godly life. You say, well, why are these pastors, why are these bishops, why are these apostles, why are these evangelists, why are these teachers, why the fivefold ministry is acting so unseemly? You might say, but I'm not acting. But the fivefold ministry Not God's fivefold ministry, but man's fivefold ministry. I want you to get that, because God said the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. So man's fivefold ministry is acting unseemly, proclaiming to be God's fivefold ministry. I got to go over this word. I can't go against this word, because it says by his, God, Jesus, his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You can stop right there. I have more than enough. We have more than enough. You say, but you don't have this. You don't have. No, no, no. It's not about worldly stuff. You have divine stuff dwelling on the inside of you. The Bible tells us, great, you have overcome them, little children. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you have this power. You have this anointing. You have this treasure living you, earthly vessel. You got this thing inside of you. It's inside of you. All we have to do is truly tap into it. He said, we have received all of this by coming to. In other words, the more we know him, the more this faith, this divine power, this divine authority is going to envelop in us. It's going to expand. It's like when you're baking bread. And everything, you have the flour, and you got the, well, we make coconut bread, you know, in the Caribbean. I get some of them every time I go home and bring back. But you put the dough and everything, the flour together, and you put the raisins and stuff, and you put the coconut in. You grated the coconut and mix the coconut with sugar and put it in to make it sweet bread. But it's not gonna expand. It's not gonna rise without adding a little soda, baking soda, baking powder, not baking soda, baking powder in it. And they sprinkle a little bit, not a lot. They sprinkle a little bit in the dough, and all the dough, and then they fold it and roll it and press it again. And then they start to cut it in little slabs and put it on pans or in pans. And you say it goes in there looking almost flat. But in a little while, it starts to rise up. Well, this is what happens when you begin to walk in the divine power. The divine power that's in us, we begin to rise up. We rise up for God. We rise up with authority. We rise up with power. We rise up with trust. We rise up with this thing that enables us to accomplish what he called us to accomplish. In other words, we rise up in a way where people begin to recognize that we are his children. We are his sons and daughters. This is what he's saying. So Peter said that this stuff is already inside of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, and because of his glory, verse 4, and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you and me, you and me, us, to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires or human lusts. You see, the world entices us to follow it, to crave after it, but we need to tap into God's divine excellence, his glory and excellence. We need to tap into that. See, if I start focusing on his divine glory and excellence, I begin to change. We begin to change because why? We have tapped into it. We have tapped into the reservoir of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. This is so powerful, Apostle. He said, these are the promises, talking about the divine glory and excellence, are the promises that enable us, he said, you here, but I got to put us, enable us to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. No. When you walk in the divine glory and excellence, the world's desires don't have no power. Apostle, it doesn't have no authority over us. Why? Because you're not walking according to the dictates of the world, but you're walking according to the glory and excellence of God.
when it looks like you're going to die, when it looks like you are broke, you are not focusing on that because you know inside of you, he said, look, I give you life and life more abundantly. He said, I supply all your needs, according to my riches. You see, you start to draw from the glory and excellence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now let's go a little further in this chapter. I was studying this, going over this over and over last night. Just looking, I was just rejoicing to see how much God loves us. And Peter began to talk to the church. If you read from verse 1, you will see, if you study, he's talking to saved people, encouraging them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says here, these are the gifts, these are the promises. He said, in view of all this, listen to Peter, make every effort to respond to God's promises. I don't care what's going on. There's tornadoes, there's earthquakes, there's tsunamis. Your job is acting up. Your wife is acting up. Your husband, your children acting a fool. Sister, brother acting unseemly. So look, make every effort. Don't care what happens, to respond to God's promises. See, we got to go back and look. God said, I'll give you peace. Peace unspeakable, full of glory. So I'll give you peace. So why am I still walking around with my head down? Why am I still hanging out? Say, my God, it's not working for me. I'm depressed. I'm oppressed. I'm down pressed. All kind of press I got except God press. So he says, in view of all this that's going on in the world, that's what he's talking about. Make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence. Oh, my God, my God. You look and see all these bishops and apostles and deacons and elders and ushers and all this stuff acting so foolish. Why? Because they're not using this scripture here. Read it for yourself. I'm reading out the NLT, New Living Translation. But you can read out the King James. I got the King James here, and I have the logo, so I got the three Bibles before me. But go back and look at it in the King James Version. You know, this NLT makes it plain for you, understandable. He said, look, my friend, effort of all, in view of all that's going on around you. I mean, we can see it all day long. Turn on your television. Turn on your phone. Phone's a computer. Turn on your laptop, your iPad, whatever you got. They're all computers. Go on Facebook. And the more you go on Twitter. Go on, we call it Periscope. Go on any of the channels. And the moment you say, you start to see. They start telling you what's all the corruption that's in the world. But he says, in view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. Look, put your faith in generous provision of moral excellence. See, your faith got to be living in a way that pleases God. That's what that's moral excellence. I had to be, I'm called to teach. I'm called to declare God's truth. I'm not only going to declare God's truth, but I'm going to live God's truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? You ask some people, oh, they can preach you underneath a storm, apostle. Or they can preach you underneath the communion table. I know a preacher right here that can. Preach us underneath the communion table. He goes underneath the teach, you know, with all these antics, go underneath the communion table. But when he comes out from underneath the table, he lives a homosexual life. He even lived a life so bad that he infected his own wife. And she died. Young woman died. She's much younger than any of us. She died. Listen to what he says. This is why I'm going over this verse right here. Verse 5. In view of all things, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence and moral excellence with knowledge. See, this stuff don't stop. It keep continue moving. Your faith with moral excellence and your moral excellence with knowledge. He said, and knowledge with self-control. You need some self-control. We need self-control in ministry. We lose it when we finish preaching. We forget that we are instruments of the Most High God, that we are representing him, that we are called as his ambassadors. We forget all about it. And the worst of all, when she just down there preaching at our Brother John's church, when he just up there at the Apostles' Church preaching for the revival, but look at him. She acting just like one of us. See, because they forget this moral excellence that God is looking for in us as his representatives. He said, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patience endurance. And patient endurance, godliness. How you carry yourself, how you treat your brothers and sisters, how you respond to people. I had a preacher one time come right out the church and in front of the church building. Well, we know that we the church. Well, we call the building the church. Come out the building. And right in front of the building, Evangelist Brown was standing there with me. And she started cussing out the organ, the organist, because the organist wanted to get an advance. Because you know all them now, they don't play for nothing. When they come and play, they want to get paid. If they come and sing and they come bring their choir or they bring their praise team, they're looking for a check from the leader, not the praise, not the backup. The backup usually don't get paid. But most of them that are in the front line that come to a minister, they want to get paid. Because that's what it's all about. You see, like Tasha Cobbs and all them, so when they come to your church, you got to pay. They don't come over there and sing for your church for the concert. Say, well, we're just going to come in and we're going to release four or five songs for the gospel, for the kingdom. They're coming to get paid. Because about being paid. Listen to what he said. He says, man, God, I bless this word. He says, and godliness with brotherly affection cuss you out. Do you hear me? Folk would cuss you out and people would call you names that's not in the book, but they said they're saved and sanctified. But Peter said we got to have godliness with brotherly affection and brotherly affection with love for everyone. Are you not seeing this stuff? This is the word of God. We're talking about growing in faith. If we want to grow in faith, this is the attributes. These are the attributes to grow in faith. It's all, I'm full of faith, but you don't have no compassion. I'm full of faith. You don't have no love. You're full of faith, but don't have no patience. Hallelujah. No patience. As soon as somebody don't act right, you just slip right out. You're not enjoying. You're quick to fall away. But you say, I'm with you. I am with you, but you're quick to fall away. Preachers are falling like flies. And simple things, the simple things of this world is taking them out. Because their faith is not in Christ Jesus. Their mouth is in Christ Jesus. You hear what I say? Their mouth, apostle, is in Christ Jesus, but not their faith. Faith comes out of the heart. It comes out of the heart. It's not what you say. It's what you do. You know, folk tell you all day long, oh, you're my buddy. But let you need their help. They have every excuse not for you. They have every excuse not to help you. Every excuse, and they have the help that you need. You know, they have the help that you need. Here, Peter talking to the church. He's speaking to the church. Let's go back up to verse 1 because I want you to see this. And then we'll come back down. We'll jump back down. The Lord just says, release this. This is what he says. This letter is from Simon Peter, a slave. That means that he is sold out to serving God. A slave and apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same precious faith we have. So he's not writing to unbelievers. He's writing to believers. This faith was given to you because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. And then he said this. It was so prolific to me. He says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. In other words, the more we endeavor to know of God, we're going to experience more grace and more peace. So what do I have to do? I don't know about you. What do I have to do? I have to spend more time with him. How do you spend time with him? Get into the word. Prayer. Fast. Seek his wisdom. Not his hand. We only want to go to him when we can't pay our bills. We want to go to him when finances. One buddy called me and said, Apostle, send me a message. Apostle, I can't pay my light. My lights are turned off. Okay. He says, and the water bill is so high, they're about to turn off the water. Well, the children are staying up all night while she's in her room watching her reading her Bible or whatever, because she's a Christian woman. But the children are watching TV and playing all of these games all night long instead of getting some sleep. And some of the kids are big enough that they ought to have jobs. So my leg matters out. They ought to have jobs. So what happened is, why she go to sleep, the kids still up, 4 o'clock in the morning, they're playing Nintendo and all these games. Wasting current. They got lights burning in the kitchen, lights burning in the living room, dining room, all this stuff. Nobody's in any of those rooms. And you wonder why the light bill is high. I couldn't tell her nothing because, you know, sometimes when you say some stuff, people get mad when you tell them the truth. She just had to say, I said, okay. I didn't respond to her because I didn't have no money to help her. You know, I got over $100,000 doctor bill. I mean, thank God that I have insurance. We just got one of the bills in the mail, over $40,000. And there's another one coming. You know what I'm saying? So, glory to God. So, we have to use common sense. You're not in the room, turn off the light. You go in the bathroom, stay in the bathroom, and the sink running all day down. You're not even washing your hands, not brushing your teeth. Well, that meat outside the house or inside the house is ticking. My meat is in the house. It's ticking, 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 ticking. It's recording your money. How much you got to pay? Peter says, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. See, the more you study him, the more you seek him, you're going to find a peace that surpasses all understanding. Let's jump down to verses 8. And this is what he says. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, when you begin to grow like Peter talking about, the more productive you're going to be. You're going to be helpful. We will be more helpful to the kingdom. If we're not growing like this, we're not going to be helpful to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he began to speak this thing. This is so powerful. See, you don't hear this teaching inside. Everybody want to preach. I'm going to preach from today. I'm going to preach from John chapter 17, verses 7. They put all their stuff on it. All their stuff on it. Because they want a song like this. So prolific. When you look at Jesus, look at John the Baptist, look at the apostles. All they do is teach. They taught. Paul teach so much one night that the boy fall out the window. Utica. Fell out the window. Dead. Paul went down just touch him. Speak a word over here. And next thing the boy's alive. Give him to the family, send him home. He taught the people. See, when you teach the people, you are getting the people ready. Ready. You're not trying to impress the people or how good you can put one verse together and put all that stuff to it. You want God's word to be in the atmosphere. When his word's in the atmosphere changes. The atmosphere changes. No. Let's go back into here. Verse 9 says, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. If you're not improving, if you're not progressing, if you're not growing, it's because you are short-sighted. You're blind, spiritually blind, forgetting that you have been cleansed from the old sins. Satan is telling you that you're still locked up in your old past. So you can't even see that Christ has delivered you, that he has washed you and cleansed you with his precious blood. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You confess your sins. Confess your sins. But Satan still have most of us walking around with a chip on our shoulder that we can't never do any better. We still stuck on stupid. And this is what he said. This is powerful right here. Glory to God. He says, so, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. See that? Work hard. People see your light shining. Allow them to see your light. Don't walk like you're still in darkness. And sometimes what happens is that while we walk like we're still in darkness, because we are indulging and we are spending more time with folk that walk, still walking in darkness, than spending time with people that walking in the light. Wise man said one time, he says, if you walk with people that are wise, you're gonna get wiser. You walk with people that are stupid, you become stupider. Hallelujah. And I said, wow, that's so profound. You walk with people that don't want to go anywhere, guess what happens? You become stagnant. They say, well, I know I just don't want to become this or become that. I'm comfortable where I am. And guess what happens? They stay right there at that position. Never going, never moving. See, I'm in this little hut, I stay in this little hut. I don't feel like I gotta get a bigger house. I don't feel like I gotta get a car. You know? I'm walking pretty well. But God wants to bless them with this and bless. No. So I don't need to go to school. I don't need to study nothing. No, I'm fine right here. And you watch them. You hang with them. You become just like them. No, get with people who want to move forward. Get with people who want to know more about Christ Jesus. Seek those people that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. They're being filled. You'll get filled too. This is what he says. Listen to him. He said, but those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins, period. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard. Don't become stagnated. Come slowful. He said, work hard. Do something to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things, and you will never fall away. Look and see all the priests. You know why they're falling away? They're not working hard. They're doing what they do, Apostle. I like money too. I like money like everybody, because I need to pay my bills. I need to help people. You know, I got people now that's suffering, that need food. I ain't had the money yet, but I said, Lord, heal me. I said, Lord, heal me fast. I said, heal me fast so I can go back out in the field. I gotta call this carpenter contractor. I ought to call and let him know that I'm ready to do some work. You know, not too much heavy work, not too much heavy, but, you know, services. I just use electronic digital tools. You know, they're not heavy, but I'm not lifting up no boiler nor no water heater, nothing like that stuff. But I got to call him, let him know. Because once I can get up there and do, I can help people. This is what it's all about. He says, oh, man, if you get this thing, you know that you have been called and chosen, and you wouldn't fall away that easy. Because why? Your mind is set on Jesus. See? He will stop us. Oh, God, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Will stop us from falling away, Apostle. It's because we are focused on Jesus, what he's done on the cross. My mind is it stayed on him. And he said, I keep you in perfect peace. My mind on him. All mine is on him. When your mind goes down the street, go up the street across, you are a candidate to fall away. You can't. I don't want to be like this bishop. I don't want to be like that apostle over there. I want to be like Jesus. I want my mind to develop in such a way that I have the life of Christ overflowing my heart. That's what I'm asking for. He says, then God give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom. You hear that? Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you stay connected to him, doing his will, not your will. Because, you know, I told him on Sunday, I said, you know, they would tell him, he said, don't do too much. Don't try to do too much, Apostle. I said, no, I'm just doing what the Lord leads me to do. See, so many people say, I will at the altar. Pastors, leaders. I was telling the preacher the other day, I said, look, now the man is he's a prophet. And people called him up for prophecy. They called him up for prophecy because he, you know, he well-versed in the Bible. But the same man that claimed he represented Jesus Christ, he goes down to his wife's office, takes a 9mm gun, and shoot her to death. You hear what I'm saying? Shoot her to death in the street in front of the building where she worked. How do you think all them unsaved people are thinking now in Florida? How do you think they're thinking? Well, I thought, you know, people, the first thing going to say, they're going to think that he's crazy. The first thing they say, I thought he was a man of God. Well, what happened that make him shoot his wife? He's a prophet and she's a prophetess. What happened? They're not going to say, well, maybe he drinks something, maybe he smokes something. They're not going to say that. The first thing they're going to, he would call our chosen. I thought he was called. I thought he was chosen by God. This is why God wants us to stay focused. Stay focused on him. And then he says, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of the Lord, our Lord, not the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Man, aren't you looking for that? When you have eternal entrance, that means the angels are going to be standing on both sides. You know, like when you come to a wedding, you got people on both sides in the corridor of the church. And you walk down in the middle. Grand entrance. The bridegroom comes in, and then comes the bride. A grand entrance. This is what we ought to be looking for. He said, therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. See, people of God, we got to get back to teaching this message. This is the message that the church needs to know. Peter says, I'm going to continue. He said, look, therefore I will continue. Always mean continue. Remind you about these things. Why? Because it's these things that going to cause you, allow you to have a grand entrance. These are what going to allow you to have a grand entrance. Where you remember who you are and whose you are. But we got to continue to teach the church these things. Everybody, well, you know, God wants you to have this, and God wants you to have that, and that's the truth. God wants you to be blessed. God, I see God giving you this and God giving you that, and that's good. But do you see God? Do you see me living the way that pleases God? How is my life? Can you just rebuke me where I need to be rebuked so I can get my life in order to see that I'm going the wrong way? You don't hear about no rebuking down in church. Hey, boy, say, oh, you're doing real good. You're doing this. God is pleased with your work. God, you mean all of us are walking in perfection? Huh? All of us are walking in perfection? None of us going to run, doing anything that's wrong that needs to be checked? Something is wrong with that picture. I know I get some stuff that needs to be checked. When you get that, we're going to grow. We can grow and we can experience that grand entrance that Apostle Peter talking about here. He said, I'm always remind you about these things, how to walk, how to live, how to treat one another. He says, and it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. Oh, my God, that is so powerful. Talking to the church. He said, it is only right that I keep on reminding you. I'm not going off in a tangent and every day coming here, tell me, you're going to get this and you, God wants you, blessed. God wants you. God, we know that God wants you here. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It's a contingency. As my soul prosper, I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be healed. I mean, you know, I'm still got some pain going. I was talking to Pastor Stewart this morning for a long time. I still got some pain in my chest. Sometimes when I cough, it's not as bad as before because I had this special pillar that looked like a heart. As a matter of fact, it got a big old picture of the heart and the arteries and everything. They give you this as soon as you come out of surgery to give you that, because when you cough, you have to hug it. You got to press it to your chest and hold it tight, chest from vibrating and you're having all of this pain. Well, in the last couple of appointments I had, I didn't have to take it with me because when I cough, it didn't really hurt me that severe. But I tell you, when I first come out of surgery, I tell you, man, that pain would hurt and just go from my head all the way down to my toe. It was so bad. Now, when I do cough to get some phlegm up, because this stuff makes the phlegm move, you know, I get a little tingling, but nothing like to compare with before. Listen to Peter talk to us. We ain't going to keep you too long. I'm going to finish this chapter, and then we're going to get over here. I got a whole lot in the Logos Bible, but we ain't not going over there today. We're not going to go over there today. Listen to what he said. This is Peter. Peter speaking to us. He said, it is only right that I should keep on reminding you as long as I live. As long as I live as apostle, a bishop, I ought to be telling you this stuff. He said, for our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly life. Peter, going to depart from earth. You and I going to depart from some time. We're going to leave this earth at some point in time. But when God has given us, extend our lives, we ought to teach this. We ought to teach this. We ought to continue to teach stuff like this that makes sense. Hallelujah. That jumpstart people's mindset. How they're living. Are their lifestyle pleasing God? Are they pleasing in their neighborhood? When their neighbors see them, can their neighbors say, well, this is a man of God, this is a woman of God? I was going out yesterday, and these people, they bought a house. A little way from us. And saying, I think they bought it or renting. And soon as they never say anything to us. A wave up in the network. And yesterday we was going out, and a lady was sitting, her husband, he drives for Uber. He drives Uber. You know, that's his job. And he's an older man, but nobody don't, because he haven't got hurt. Nobody tried to rob him yet. I pray nobody tried to rob him. And she was sitting there talking to her husband. He pulling one way, she pulling the next way. And, you know, her window next to his. And they're talking. And all of a sudden, she's waving like she's waving a flag at us. I just, people watch you. They may not say something to you the first two or three times, but they're watching you. They're watching to see how you live, how you treat your wife, how you treat your husband, how you treat your kids. They're watching you. This is why we need to teach. Preach and teach. Don't try all the time. No, stop that. We got to just hoop and holler and snot and all that stuff because we want people to say we are good preachers. What about teaching? It's young people in the church that need to hear the way, the truth, the life. Peter says, for the Lord Jesus Christ has shown me that I must soon leave this earthly realm. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I'm gone. See, if you keep planting corn, you're going to get corn. But when you add some other stuff in the corn, in the field, you're going to get some other stuff. We got to mix this thing up. We got to mix it up that people get understanding what God wants. He wants stuff done. How many times you go to the church, you hear people talking about sin? Now you see the preacher up there, they can preach too. She can preach. But how many times you go to the church, you can put it on your finger. How many times you hear them talking about sin? How many times you hear them talking about fornication, adultery, homosexualism? They say, I don't want to touch that because I got some homosexuals inside the sanctuary. Well, don't touch that. Just hit sin. Just hit sin, S-I-N. That covers everything. It covers everything. Do you understand? Hit sin. Tell the young people that if they keep sinning, they're going to go to hell. Hell is real. Some of the young people don't believe that hell is real. They don't believe heaven is real. They believe they only have one life to live, and after that, they die. That's it. But my Bible tells me heaven is real. Hell is real. He doesn't know he has to live. He said, for we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. You see, when you study this thing and you live this thing, it's just like you was at the foot of the cross. It's just like you saw him depart from this earth. When you study this and get it in your heart, and if you see him depart, you're looking for him return. But you got to study this. If all you talk about, if all we talk about prosperity, that's all we're going to say. And then we're going to have just what we say. We're going to have the finances, but we're not going to have eternal life. We're not going to have eternal life. You got to live to live again. Can't live again until you die. You got to die to self. Most people don't want to die. They're happy living the life that they're living. But Peter said, no. There's got to be a change. You have to take on this divine characteristics. You have to take it on. You have to put on Jesus Christ. That's the problem. We don't want to put, because when you put on Jesus Christ, it somewhat hinders you from living the life you want to live. You can't go to the club. You can't go down there with your buddy drinking that corn liquor and smoking that reefer. Now you can't go down to the crack house. Your friends, most of your associates that you've been to school with, they're down at the crack house. And you say, I want to be with them. But let's finish this thing up and get over here. God is so good to us. He says, when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, this is my dearly Son, who brings me great joy. Father, look at the Son and say this. Do you know when we walk upright before him, angels rejoice in heaven? Even the Father rejoiced because we are his sons and daughters. We are not Jesus, but we are his sons and daughters. He's pleased when we are living upright. When we're walking upright, when we love on each other and care for each other unconditionally, that's the key right there, unconditionally. There's a folk come and tell Apostle, Bishop, Deacon, I love you so much. And right behind your back, cut you up. God sees that. God hears that. You know? But let's go in here and see. We almost finished. Jesus. He said, we ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain, disciples. They said, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message claimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote. See, you got to go back and look at the schematic. Talked about that earlier. You got to go and look at the blueprint. Hallelujah. I remember getting lost in the car. We have the GPS. And I told Nancy, I said, baby, I can get there. I know where I'm going. She said, well, we're sitting at home. This is many, many years ago. She said, why don't you put it in the GPS? I said, I don't need a GPS. I know where I'm going. But we were lost for quite some time. We were lost for, where I thought I was going was in the right place. And she said to me, she said, babe, why don't you just pull over? And at a word, she was saying to me, why don't you just humble yourself? Realize that you're defeated. And I said, honey, I'm so wrong. I'm so wrong. I should have done what you said. Pull over, put it in the GPS, and minutes I was at that place I needed to be. You want to be where you need to be, you got to study this word. Not just what you feel like, but what you need to. The Holy Spirit will tell you where to go. I didn't know what I was going to teach on this morning, but he took me here. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's only 21 verses, but it's powerful 21 verses. He says, we ourselves heard that voice, the voice of God, from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of this experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place. Only the day dawns, and Christ, the morning star, shines in your heart. Until the day dawns, and Christ, the morning star, shines in your heart. This is until you get the understanding. When you get the true understanding of who he is, what he's done, and what he's doing, the light begins to shine. The light begins to shine in your heart, you know. It begins to shine. This is when you are able to love now unconditionally. Hallelujah. You're able to hear your husband acting a fool. And you can say, baby, oh, baby, let's just take a walk. And when he quiet down, or calm down, or she calm down, then you can say, well, let's go home. We need to go and get into the Word. Fellowship with the Savior. Why? Because the light is shining in one of you. The light ought to be shining in one of us at all times. And we ought to be able to control the darkness that's around us. Because guess what? Don't care how long you've been teaching or preaching, darkness is all around us because Satan don't want you to lead nobody to Christ Jesus. And he sure enough don't want you to coin. He don't want you to make that divine entrance that Peter talk about. He don't want you to make it. And he going to try, everything that he can to stop us from making that divine entrance. He said, above all, verse 20, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, he says, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they spoke from God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. Lord, we know that the word is blessed. Lord, you have taken me back over verses that you have picked out with your own finger for me to go over once, twice, three times, so that somebody that didn't hear or didn't understand somewhere in the north, the south, the east, and the west may gravitate to it and get it. And the light may turn on in their hearts, in their minds, so they can make the decision that pleases you, that bring glory to your name, Father. We ask you to save all those that are not saved today. We ask you to touch those that are walking that crooked way and those that are on the straight and narrow path. Lord, we ask you to keep them on the straight and narrow path, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, bless the lost. Lord, we ask you to heal the sick. Heal those that are sick in their bodies, those that are sick in their minds and their spirit.
Father, we ask that you touch Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop Washington, Lord, heal her eyes and her knees, and heal Bishop lungs and kidneys and liver. Father, we know that you are a miracle working God. You can never fail. Lord, what you did for me, you'll do for others. We ask God for you, touch Apostle Stewart, Ronnie Stewart, and Pastor Joyce Stewart. God, we know what they need. You know exactly what they need physically, financially, and spiritually. And Father, we are praying from the center of our heart that you meet them at their point of need. Lord, we ask you today, God, that you touch Minister Jones while he's out there on the street. Lord, we ask for guidance. We ask for protection. We ask, oh God, for you. Give him the words that he needs to speak to the fellow truckers. We ask, God, we pray for Prophetess Kirsch. They were on the line. They just got off. We pray for their protection. We pray for their healing and for deliverance. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you continue to bless us to see and to hear. We pray for Pastor Brown and Evangelist Brown, Lord. Lord, I thank you for healing him, my brother in Christ. Lord, we thank you for healing him and drawing him closer to you, Lord. Let him know that there's no other way, Lord. Lord, all that he's going through physically, spiritually and financially, Lord, you're meeting him at his point of need. So we ask today, God, for those that don't know you, Lord, that they come to that working knowledge that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one can come to the Father except through you, Lord. We pray, Father God, that deliverance take place on this line today, that healing take place on this line, that somebody get baptized. Somebody get baptized in the Holy Ghost today. We pray that somebody would surrender and ask Jesus to enter into their heart, and that they would invite Jesus in their heart, and that he would enter in and bring deliverance in the mighty name of Jesus. The line is open for anyone that want to share, want to add to the sermon, to the teaching. You can. If not, we're going to pray and close out. We will be back here tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock teaching on something that the Lord is going to give us. We don't know. We don't know what the Lord is going to give us tomorrow, but we're going to have a word, because we have devoted our time to doing what thus says the Lord. And we will be here tomorrow afternoon, and we come on every day, but we'll be coming on because I don't have any doctor's appointments. We don't have to see the doctor for a year. We'll be coming on. We come on Monday to Friday, 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 3:30, or when the Holy Spirit says so, Eastern Standard Time, and then Saturday from 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time until 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or when the Holy Spirit closes out. We thank God for everyone that came on today. If you didn't hear what the Lord was saying to us today, go back. You can always go back on Facebook when we post the message up after 2:30 or 3 o'clock, and you can listen to the message for yourself and hear what the Lord is saying. God is speaking to us about growing in faith. And you know, when the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please him, but that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So if you're going to go after Christ, you need faith. You need faith. Because you can't see him with your natural eyes. And you got to have faith to believe that he is who he said he is, and that he will do what he said he will do. You know, I always believe in God. I always believe in God. I was grew up in the church, but the church was not in me. But after I got older, I opened the door to my heart to allow the church, the word of God, to come into my heart. And I believe strongly that Jesus is coming back for his church. I really do believe that in my heart. And I want to be part of the church. I want to be part that when he comes, he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I just told him that when I went through this quadruple surgery, I cried and I told the Lord, whatever he chooses to do, if he wants to take me home, I'm willing to come home now because I've given my life. And then I told him, I said, Lord, from this day on, I give you 100% of my heart, my life. My life completely belongs to you. Doesn't matter what's happened. You know, since I've been here, I lost my mother, I lost my father, I lost 3 brothers, I lost my daughter. Hallelujah. Since I've been in ministry. So death is nothing surprising to me. No, but I give my heart to him. I'm living for him. And I always tell people, you cannot live for Christ until you die for Christ. You cannot live. I don't care who you are. You cannot live for him until you die for him. And die means you got to die to self. Die to self, because self always going to want to rule and reign. Self always going to want to push his chest up, you know, and want to act like it's this and that, more than that, a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. But I tell you today, if you die to self, Christ will rise up in you. You'll begin to see Christ rise up in you. That is my take for today. The line is open for anyone who wants to come on in and share a word. The line is open. I'm finished.
There was a woman in the Bible day. She had been sick. Sick so very long. She heard that the Savior was passing by. So she joined the gathering band. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, woman, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh, 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 and oh, oh. The woman cried, oh, Lord, and oh, Lord, said if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole right now. Yeah. This woman spent her money here and there, until she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do the woman no good. When she touched, the Savior didn't see, but still my Lord turned around and cried, someone touch me. He said, if I would just want to touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be made whole right now. Oh, help me, Lord. The woman cried, oh, 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 and oh. She cried, oh, Lord, and oh, oh, Lord. She said, if I would just want to touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole right now.
Amen, amen. Glory to God. Apostle, that's what I was telling
Hallelujah.
You about a little bit earlier. That's Elder Elder Larry Walker, I told you he could sing. I tell you, that sounds so good. I just give God all the glory, the honor, the praise. This is Apostle Stewart. I don't know if Prophet Keith is on the line. He said he would come in and listen as well. He may want to come in and just introduce himself. But they're listening in, Apostle, I tell you, and that was a great word that you ministered on today as well. I really enjoy the word. And Apostle, you sound so good. It almost sounds like you haven't even went under the knife the way that you went under.
Yeah.
But God has really, really touched you and did an incredible miracle in your life. And these brothers on the line listening after the 10, I'm sure they enjoyed themselves, but they could speak for themselves, you know?
Yes, The elder sounds a little bit like Sam Cooke.
He sounds just like him. Yeah, that's
Sam Cooke on him. Yeah, he got a little Sam Cooke on him. I said, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's God. That style. That's the same style he have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Elder Larry, if you like, you might want to come in and just introduce yourself, you know, to Apostle Calendar. You've been heard, I'm telling you, being heard all different places around the world. When you come on Blog Talk like that, you know? So you might want to just come in and introduce yourself to him. That was a powerful introduction, the way that you came in with that song, praise God. And I think Prophet Keith is still on the line as well. But the line
I just want to thank God, thank all the apostles and everyone on the line today. And most of all, I want to thank God because I'm above ground and not beneath ground. When the young man was just talking about losing people, I lost my baby girl December 22nd of last year.
Take your time, Elder. Talk, Elder.
And I said I wasn't going to come to the line and, you know, crying or whatever, but my daughter was 31 years old. I have been with her. My wife died of cancer, and my daughter and I have been together all her life. It wasn't nobody but my daughter, myself, and Jesus. And I tell you, brother, when I lost my daughter, I lost the best friend in earth that I had. But I found out that you really have to put your trust in God. Because although you may love them, but he is the greatest friend you ever could have.
Hallelujah.
And I just thank God, because I always thought, and maybe in my mind it was just the way I thought or whatever. I always thought, because well, I said, I always told the Lord every day of my life, every day of my daughter's life. I mean, my daughter has several parts and she couldn't walk. I did everything for her. Now, I'm not sitting on here talking about sympathy or nothing. I'm just telling you what, you know, my daughter couldn't talk that good, but she could say dad, dad. And I always remember what my grandfather used to tell me, because he raised me. I never knew my dad. I never had no relationship with my mother, but my grandfather and my grandmother raised me. He said, the word daddy carries a whole lot of weight. And I was a little bit of a boy, never really understood what he was talking about till I had a child. Then I realized what it is to be a dad, because my daughter used to call me dad there all the time. And I thank God for her, because I really thought in my mind, I used to tell the Lord, I said, Lord, if you just heal her mind, well, she can have understanding of right and wrong and when someone doing something to her that they don't need to be doing. I said, I'll be satisfied, Lord. I said, if I have to go, I'll go. But it didn't happen that way. I really never thought that I would still be here and my daughter be gone. But I'd say one thing, I didn't question God. I never said, why, Lord? I just accept what happened. And I just want to thank Apostle Stewart because, and his family. I've been knowing him quite a while. I'm gonna cut his shout. I am gonna, you know, people's always, my grandfather always said, you know, when you're dealing with people, never worry about what other people say. You get to know that person for yourself. And I appreciate God for Apostle Stewart and his wife because they have helped me, encouraged me, talked to me with the word and about the word of God. And I just want to say I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to be able to come on the line today, Apostle, and to the apostle that's over the line. And I thank God for both of y'all. And that's all I have to say right now.
Thank you so much, Elder. We appreciate you, you know, and we know that God is your helper. God is your shield. He's your buckler. He's your strong tower. He's the light of your salvation, the horn of your salvation. And you can't have no better one than him on your side. You know, I like what you say. You didn't come on here looking for sympathy. We don't have sympathy to give to you. We have to give to you the love of Christ. You know, we have the love of Christ to give to you. But we understand what you've been through, what you're going through. I faced that in 2017. I was going to Africa to do a crusade. And Pastor can tell you, my daughter died. She was young. She was 36, 34, 36, somewhere around there now. You know, I'm getting older now, just turned 74. But and I had to do Blog Talk Radio in the morning, and I had to do the eulogy, you know. And we did the Blog Talk Radio. They said, well, you going to still have? Yeah, I'm going to have Blog. Come and praise the Lord. And then we went and do the eulogy for her. And it's been a blessing. You know, I miss her every day. You're going to always miss your daughter. You'll never forget her. You know, she's with you. I have a picture of my daughter in my Bible. She goes to my mother, one of my brothers. I take them all over the world with me where I go. You know, but God wants her. When God wants them, you can't hold them back. Don't care much you want to hold them to you. When God wants them to be with him, don't let them go. You know, thank God for the time that you had with her, that she was part of your life here on the earth, in the earth realm. But now she's with the Savior. And you know, you're free to come on here anytime you want to come and preach. You can come on in here and let me know. Come on here and share word what the Lord put upon your heart. You go all over the world. We are in Africa right now. We're in India. We're in China. We're in Brazil. We're in the Caribbean. We are all over the world. This is what we do, this ministry. We just go all over the world. You know, I had people call me yesterday from Trinidad and was telling me, oh, we had so many hundreds of people praying for you. I said, I know, I felt the praise. Then all the churches, I have a lot of churches that I'm connected with in India, and the pastor just sent me a message there on a messenger. And he told me, he said, the pastor, everybody's so happy that you have done well. I said, not me, God did well. I ain't that well, because I went under, you know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that I was going to come over, but I went under, you know. But I prayed before I went under. And as I was telling the pastor yesterday, it was supposed to be 8.5 hours, but it only took 6 hours because God was in the room. And everything went well. I had 2 major surgeries in one day. But God, you know, they opened my chest and they opened the side of my neck to clean the carotid artery out because it was blocked up. And I could have been blind, you know, but the Lord kept me, my vision, all the nerves is working fine, you know, and I'm healing like you can't even believe it. You can't even believe it. But that's the God that we serve. I got a job to do here on the earth, and that's to tell people about Jesus, that they have to repent. They have to surrender totally to Christ Jesus. There's no straddling the fence. There's no straddling the fences. No, it's either you in or you out. Either you in or you out. And if you're in, God's going to do miracles with your life. God's going to use your life to be to light to those that are in this world that need to see the light of God. And that's what it's all about. And I'm sorry to hear that your daughter gone home, but she's with the Savior. She's with the Savior. And I know that she lived a life that pleased the Lord. She wasn't out there. And God is pleased with you, sir. You just get to your post. Do what the Lord calls you to do. The anointing that's on your life, use it to glorify the Lord. We have a great work to do because it's getting closer. I am telling you, it's getting so close. Oh, it's so close for Jesus to return. All you have to do is turn on the television, turn on the computers, and you see the stuff that's going on that men and women are doing in this earth realm. You know. You know it's time. One people say that. Yeah, I was seeing one people on the TV, and they say, we can't wait to go to hell. Like they think there's a cabaret in hell. Like they think there's a cabaret in hell, you know. No, it's just torment. There's no peace. There's no water. And they can't wait. This is how the devil has deceived the people. And God is calling us now to release the people. Release them by telling them the truth. You know, and all of us got to do it. People got to repent. They got to turn and give their life to Christ Jesus. Begin to live for him. Because it's more than just saying I'm saved. Now we got to live a saved life. You know, so many people say, oh, I'm saved, I'm sanctified, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I speak in tongues, but they're not living a saved life. And the devil laughs because he know they're not living the life that they profess that they have. And this is what we are called to do. Expose darkness with the light that's in us. So thank you, sir. Thank you so much, Elder. The line is open. Anyone that wants to come on in, the line is open. Well, Apostle, we'll be back here at 12 o'clock tomorrow afternoon if the Lord say the same. If you would go ahead and pray and close us out, we are greatly appreciated. Go ahead.
Okay, Apostle. That's 12 o'clock your time, Eastern, and 11 o'clock my time, Central. And,
yes.
Of course, we
yes.
know Pacific time, that would be, I think, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock on the West Coast. Heavenly Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we just enjoyed that word on today. God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you for that anointed word, Lord. We thank you for all that you heal Apostle Calendar, all that you give him a miracle, God, that he's still in the land of the living where prayer can be heard and mercy can be found. My God, truly he's a man of God who loves you with all his mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. Oh, God, and he loved to be used by you. He loved to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for Elder Larry who came and sang that song. Oh, my God, truly he sounded like the Solstice all over again. In the name of Jesus, Sam Cooke in the Solstice. Oh, my God, what an anointed song. In the name of the Lord
yes.
Jesus. I don't know if Pastor Keith is on or not, but if he is, he may be. Some things may be going on that he couldn't come in because sometimes your background be a little bit too loud and you can't come in. But he's very, very bold, and of course he'll be back on. You know, that just the type of person he is. His wife is bold. I'm telling you, I wouldn't be surprised if they give you the apostle that they're going to come in and bring that word, you know, because I know you say that this is God's line. So I lift them all up to you, Lord. I lift up Apostle Brown to you, the name of Lord Jesus, Pastor Brown. I lift them up to you and his wife, Evangelist Brown, and others. In the name of Lord Jesus, Minister Jones, and also his mother, Prophetess Kersey, in the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, lift up Apostle Callan and his wife and his family, his granddaughter. In the name of Lord Jesus, and all of his family members, I lift them up to your son, oh God, that you've strengthened him and you've brought him out of bondage and you've made him free, oh God. Open up the eyes of his understanding and let him know that he has a calling on his life. Praise God to minister the word. And God, we just give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We lift up Apostle Washington to you and Bishop Washington to you, Lord. Pray that you heal their mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. From what I can understand, they have been going through in their body, Lord. I pray that you give them a miracle, Lord, truly a man and woman of God that love you with all their mind, all their heart, all their body, all their soul, all their spirit, all their strength. They love you, God. I can recall when they was coming on the line. They used to pour out so much on this line. I think they might have their own line now. But nevertheless, we lift them up and their family to you as well. And, God, we give you all the glory, the honor, and praise, and all of the Block Talk radio listeners that's listening to us across America and around the world. We pray for you and your family as well, all of the apostles that are in Africa and India that call in from time to time seeking prayer, and those that seek help in different parts of Kenya and different parts of India and different parts of the world in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're praying that you receive all of the help that you need to receive, because God is able, praise God, in the name of Jesus Christ. So we lift up Israel in the name of Lord Jesus. We're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying, oh God, that you set the captive free in the name of Lord Jesus, even in Hamas and Gaza and these different places. All of Hamas is not evil. You have good people in every nation, and you have bad in every nation. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Lord Jesus that you protect those that love you, God, those that believe in you, oh God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, praying that you open up the eyes of the understanding of those, oh God, that's trusting and believing in God, because there are some of our brothers and sisters that's going to be coming in from other sheepfold, even from other nations and from other faiths, that's going to come into the one faith, into the one sheepfold. Lord, you said you establish your house in the top of the mountain, and all nations shall flow into it. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord. You said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So, Lord, draw the nations unto you, Lord, before it's eternally too late. And, God, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Once again, we lift up Apostle Callender, that you strengthen his mind, heart, body, soul, and spirit. Thank you for being there through that operation with him in the name of Lord Jesus. You were right there, Lord, with him the whole time, with the doctors, Lord. That it was supposed to take them 8.5 hours to do, they did it in 6 hours. Everything went so well. It's because of you, Lord, in the life that he lived, Lord, and because of the purpose and the destiny that you have on his life and on we that are your people's lives in the name of Jesus Christ. So we have a work to do, Lord, and we're not going nowhere till you have completed what you wanted to do through us, for us, and with us. And we give you all the glory, down, and the praise. I lift up Pastor Keith Charles and Pastor Brenda Charles in their ministry in the name of Lord Jesus. Mighty prayer warriors pray every day, 365 days a year. They're praying in the name of Lord Jesus. If all is well, sometime if it's an emergency in that, sometime death in the family or something like that. But other than that, they're praying on that line. So, Lord, we thank you for them. We thank you for their prayers. And, oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for covering us in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. And, God, I give you the glory and honor and praise that you cover all of these and that you cover us as well. Cover me and my family, Lord. Pray that there be no retaliations of Satan and his demons. In the name of Lord Jesus, Lord, you said yourself, Satan, fall like lightning. And you've given us power over all of the powers of the devil, and nothing by no means shall hurt us. So, Lord, we thank you for that protection. In the name of the Lord Jesus is a strong tower. We, the righteous, run into it, and we are safe. So, God, we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you for what you're doing across America and around the world, on every continent, in every nation, every village, every island. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for the work that you're doing through the people of God. And so we thank you for this, God, and we appreciate being used by you, Lord. We don't take it lightly to be called the sons and the daughters of the Almighty God. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior. Once again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and earth don't have no sorrows that heaven cannot heal. So I thank you for the boldness of these elders, these apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers that's on the line today, these that are singing songs of Zion today, Lord, and the boldness that you've given to the body of Christ in the name of Lord Jesus, that we can make the difference in the lives of other people, Lord. And this is why you have us today, oh God, coming together, because there's a great work that you have for the body of Christ to still do, for we are your ambassadors to the people of planet Earth. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you, O God of heaven. Use us, O God. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, for you seek it such to worship you, Lord. So we thank you for your love, your peace, your joy, your happiness, gifts and fruit of the Holy Ghost that you've bestowed upon we that are your people, Lord. Give us longevity as we continue to do that, that's pleasing in your sight. In your sight, as Apostle Callender has said, Lord, let it not just be a word that we say, but let this be the word that we do. Oh, in the name of Lord Jesus, that we live this life by the day. In the name of Jesus, we're not just hearers and seers of the word, but we are doers of the word. In the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you for salvation today. In the wonderful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you. Thank you, Elder. Hope you all can get on tomorrow. We thank God for you all. Have a blessed and safe day. And whatever you do, do it to glorify God. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Good day, Apostle. Everyone, Jesus' name.